Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Yay! I have not forgotten about you. You all have flooded my emails. I'm like, okay. Yes, I've been busy. I have been totally busy, but I miss you all as well. I've been having a lot of things going on, a lot of things that are happening. It's with school, church. I mean, there's so many things going on, but I thank God for another day, and thank God for you all tuning in again on an unexpected moment, which, you know, I told you I'll pop up at any time before I come up with a topic that we need to address or a discussion we need to talk about. Time, you know, as Arsenio Hall said, would say, things that make you go, Well, I want to give honor to my husband, Superintendent Pastor Robert Alexander II, journey on to work, and Daniel while he's in school. Daniel, you all have been looking on Facebook. Yes, that's little Daniel. He's playing ball. So he's been busy between music and playing basketball. He's been so tied up with basketball. It's been like, you know, every weekend it's been basketball. So if he's not after church on Sunday at his school and open court, it's all day on Saturday. But he is very, very busy. So thank God for kids being busy. Like to keep prayers up for our family. We do have illness in our family and whatnot. For privacy, just keep praying for us as our loved one is healed. And we know that God does all, God does everything in his time. So keep our family members. I've had this discussion before, and maybe third Saturday and Sunday and Women's Day next month, I might bring this to the table and bring the men in on it, of course, with my husband. But a lot of people want to be leaders, and they want to be pastors now. Back in the day, you had those who were just love just to be a deacon or be a brother of the church, or if they wanted to, they were a missionary, you know. And it was so simple. But now the title of becoming pastor has become to be so popular now that everybody and their mama want to be apostle bishop, apostle of the Septuagint, of the Lutheran Testament. I'm missing so many names. You know, they have all these popular names, Luciferian and the popularity of the Water Buffalo Club. So it's just, I mean, people want to be in something that may feel as if they have control. I'm speaking from a pastor's wife perspective. It is not easy being a pastor's wife. I don't look for no appreciation, send-offs and stuff like that. That's not my man. My man is not on anything like that. I'm here to help my husband in all ways that is able, you know, that I'm able to help him with. When I see things as a pastor's wife, I'm not seeing things through gossip or it's a lot to even say when you, as a pastor's wife. I don't look for glamour. I don't look for things that could be beneficial to me. What I care about are souls. And one thing about it, I keep it real. About souls, you know, because people are lost. That's where I am. And when people are lost, they tend to understand, you know, what ministry is about right now. And the thing about it is that when you're dealing with ministry work, you have to be for the people. You can't be for yourself. There's no money. Let me tell you something. There's no money in being no leader. I promise you. Because there are a lot of sacrifices that be made. When my husband first started Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, we were not in Church of God in Christ, although I still was when I was in it. In my former jurisdiction, he was not. When we got together, he was from a non-denominational church. When he said that God called him to pastor, I didn't get an attitude. I didn't get upset. I didn't huff or puff or blow the house down. I kept it still. I said, well, Lord, if that's what you told him, that's what you told him. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate. I'm going to follow my husband. And that's what I did. I started out with the legal business of the church. And when I started off with the legal business of the church, I educated myself to other things that I already know. You're speaking of someone with a doctorate, a degree in divinity. So I know how these churches are upstart, what to do, how to do them, and how to move forward. So I've learned that. I've watched pastors down through the years that I was under, that I've watched how their presentation is, how their attitude is, how they speak to people, how they treat people, you know. And it's a lot. We're in the process of obtaining a property. And with this process, we have to come up with an X amount of money in order to get the profit. See, we ain't on no, you know, trying to go to everybody's conferences. We're not trying to give out no money to nobody's anniversary. We literally put a block on that because we cannot take money out of what we're trying to do because we want to bring programs to the church. We want to bring the food pantry. We already have a clothing drive. We are trying to bring other programs that would keep the church open 7 days a week, 4 hours a day, where people are funded with stipends to stay at the church during a certain time. That's what we're about. We're about ministry. We're not about, I need a new car. I need my hair done. I need a new house. No, I am actually the business administrator for the church and our district. And when I see money, I promise you, I see money in all different areas. I have an MBA, so I'm not an idiot to finance it. When people say, oh, well, I want to start this. Well, number one, let me tell you something. I put some skin into the game of years of experience and education to learn what and what not to do. When it came to certain things, the first thing people say, oh, well, you got to have a pastor anniversary. Who says that? Well, this is what we do. No. I want to see a loss. I don't mean to insult people, but my thing is I want to see a loss. I want to see the law where it's written the pastor got to have an anniversary every year. Number one, the pastor have a job, okay, Monday through Friday or sometime Monday through Saturday. And then we're trying to do something and able to get things done the right way, to get it out of a lot of areas. And we're challenged with that. So we don't go to everybody's anniversary dishing out money. I don't want to go to nobody's anniversary because I know what you want. You want money. But we have our own that we're doing. And one thing I don't like is nobody trying to cut in on my dance. I promise you. I don't like nobody cutting on my dance. Because, number one, it's all about money exchanging. I come to you, give you 50, you come back to me, you give 50. Ain't nobody got time for that. Everything, just giving it back, giving it back. I know, and then you may not even come. So I don't mean no harm when people send me inboxes and mails about sending up. No! Because we got too much over here at stake. Because we're dealing with we have two sets of membership. We got folks that never was bred or born in the Church of God of Christ that come from other denominations, and a few of us that were. So we're trying to mold them into holiness, not the Church of God in Christ. We're trying to figure out where their mind is, where their spiritual walk is, where they need to be on one accord with the Word of God, how they need to be obedient to the Word of God, how to be accountable to you as a leader. Because I know a lot of she's in the church are not accountable. I'm mad at the pastor because I just want to assume what I want, and I'm going to stay mad. Well, that's the trick of the devil. That means you're an idiot, and you're letting the devil get in your mind. That's why they said in the world the idle mind is a playground for the devil. I'm talking about what the world say. So when your mind is idle, the devil's going to play. That's basically what he does. Because you already know your mind is idle because what? Your soul is not right because what? You're not fully in the Word of God. I don't care what you post on Facebook. I don't care what you say on the phone. You have to have a light 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that exemplifies and glorifies, as Pastor said, twice every day. You can't curse on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then want to slack up on Saturday and then be holy on Sunday. See, that's what pastors don't understand. And a lot of times, being a pastor, you've got to be able to preach the Word of God and teach it to the people where it meets the needs of their soul for them to want to change their life, their walk, their talk, their appearance, to cease from. See, people have these programs in the world for N.A., A.A., Smokers Anonymous. I'm a firm believer that the Lord, the Holy Ghost will, the Lord will deliver you if you want to be delivered. So the meetings help you to understand where you find a fault in yourself to help yourself. But the thing about it is that when it comes down to being a preacher, a lot of these young guys, I'm seeing up, and I'm calling it as it is, a lot of these young guys, they look at these bishops, these older men, whether they be an archbishop, a bishop, a Luciferian, whatever, and all that, and they think it's about money. Well, baby, let me help you out. Let me bust your world up. If you cannot go out into the world and preach the gospel to every preacher and witness to the ones who need to repent, then all you are trying to compete against is for a title to get money. That's all you want to do. You want somebody else's land. Hello? You want somebody else's land. You want somebody else's stuff because you figure it's a surefire win for you. But let me tell you a thing or two. You get in that position that it's somebody when the pastor's sick or the pastor dies. How you going to bail that church out of trouble when you barely just not getting yourself together? Ain't enough concerts, put on concerts, and all that stuff we got to pay people. You got to have the business sense and the biblical sense in order to put it both together where it collaborates equally. The Bible tells you in business to be men, but a lot of them get taught backwards. Go on, son, and preach. You go get to church one day. Hold on, Jim Shoe, back up. Is that what you're telling God? See, folks get mad at me when I say, what you telling God? Are you telling God what to do? So my whole thing is, when it comes to ministry work, there's a lot to account for. When we begin to get this building, there's a whole lot of things we have to do. Not to the building, but the fences part of the building. Because we have to pay light, gas, all the utilities, all that stuff. So we have a huge responsibility until everything is actually done completely. There's more that comes with that. So you may not have a whole lot of people that follow you. You're going to have folks that want to lead somebody to church, they man into the other pastor, they're going to be able to. But then they don't want to get saved the right way. Fans is old, and you got a lot of them in the church that will join the church, but they'll turn around and have their own independent ministry. I'm just saying, They got their own independent ministry. And my thing is, if you want to have your own independent ministry, then what you need to do is don't be a member of the church. Go ahead and be your own independent ministry. Where you ain't got to worry about coming to Sunday school. You ain't worried about got to come to church on time. Nobody can use you because you're not on time. So the thing about it is that when you're not on time and you don't participate in the participatory events of the church, then you need to do your own thing. Get your own. Everybody walking around with their own name or their own ministry. Do what you do because that's what you're looking for. And that's not a – Jesus Christ did not have a ministry called Jesus Christ. Father sent him into the world to bear the sins of our stupidity and ignorance. Jesus did not say, you won't find it in no Bible. If anybody want to get an attitude with me, drkatrina@gmail.com. Promise you, let's go at it. And I don't go at it like, what's the guy named Cornell from the social active educational philanthropist. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell you straight up what the scripture says, and I'm done in the conversation. My oxygen can be used for other things. I promise you. It's simple. If you know the word, you don't have to argue about it. It's just open and shut case. But we want to go in and try to break it down. No, I'm going to tell you what the word says. And if you don't go home and research the scripture, then tell me where your mind is at. But when you talk about ministry work, you got to deal with people that are sometimey, wishy-washy. They don't want to come and church. They pissed off whatever life and took me over. So I don't want to let y'all be punished by not coming to get the word of God for myself because I think I know the word of God on my own. No, you don't know the word of God on your own. You know of the scripture, but have you know how to apply it? Charles Stanley teaches every week on Sunday, all day on Sunday, pretty much. And I listen to all of the messages that he talks about. And Charles Stanley hits it on the head, and David Jeremiah. They hit, you've got this thing here, it's called discipline in the word of God with your relationship with God. Because ministry work, you're going to come up against a lot of things, obstacles in the world. If they don't care about what denomination you're from, they don't care if you're the bishop's pet or the archbishop's pet or the semi or apostle's pet. They don't care about that. But somehow or another in the African-American churches, we become so ignorant to look at that fame and fashion that we don't look at ministry as what the work is. Do you know when you start a ministry that you may have a bunch of drug addicts come through your church in and out? You have some that want to just come through the church and want to put on a quick one-minute performance, and then you don't see them no more. We've seen that happen. You have folks that are alcoholics, that are drug dealers, or crackheads, or whatever, or lost folk. You're going to come, you're going to have, and then when your church sits in the middle of other churches that have been around the block, it is very hard work. So you start off slow to get them to be prepared to be the way the Bible says. That's what you should be teaching, is the Bible doctrine. The Bible. My Pastor Sanders teaches every Thursday from 7 to 8, biblical doctrine. So you would know the Bible. Everybody ought to know the Bible. No, you don't. You did, you wouldn't miss church. If you did, you wouldn't be wishy-washy. If you did, you would be at the church every time the church door opens if you knew the Bible. No, you don't know the Bible. If you know the Bible, then you should not be here. You should be in heaven with God because you are the top enemy of the Bible. Well, no, you're not in the, you're not God, and God didn't bring you up that way here. Ministry work is very hard. You're going to have people to say, well, I got this to do and I got that to do, and oh, this and the other. See, ministry, I will tell you something. A lot of young bucks always trying to be popular. And I'm going to tell you some board members, let me help you all out, because you all are the most ignoramus people there is. I thought you were smart, but you all are really not. Stop trying to pump these young people up to take over stuff that is only going to bite behind later on in life. When you choose someone who has a life, a limited pistol Not nobody because they're cute and they sound good and all they want. Because most of these young boys want to jump and shout. That's all they see. And when they get through jumping and shouting and performing, and you all find out, hallelujah, y'all doing all that, and then go on Monday, they like turn somebody out or they sleep with somebody. That's what happened. I've seen that happen down through the years. That's how their name get caught up. Have the ministry behind their name. And then they got grandmas and aunties and uncles on the board, and granddaddy's trying to push them to go higher, higher, higher. And they, oh, yeah, come on, yes. And then they start quoting scriptures. And they start hearing other people talk. And they take what they hear other preachers say. You ought to let Teeny Jess go with the Get Ready stuff. You know why I'm saying that? Because, let me tell you something. The Temptations recorded that song, Hello, Get Ready. Get ready. That was their fault, not TDJ. You better talk to the writers of that song before you get your butt food. TDJ did not start off with Get Ready, Get Ready. That came from the Temptations. Some of you all that think you will always say it all your life, you better go on YouTube and look at the Temptations. Look at Smokey Robinson and Miracles. Look at the Four Tops, the OJs. Everybody that repeats the phrase comes from a recorded song in R&B, and everybody, oh, it's the way. No, it's not. My daddy was a DJ, and my dad is a musical phenomenon. Ain't nothing but musicians and music folk and actors in my family. So, hello on my daddy's side. So, we know music. We know music. Be like, there ain't nothing new. That's what so-and-so song back in the day. Then when you hear something from Sam Cooke, I was born by the river, and the church boy then went to the world and then died so young. See what I'm saying? So this is what happens in ministry. You're going to have people that are or want to be in Hollywood so bad, and they want to be in a Hollywood church. There's no Hollywood church. The Bible did not say that upon this rock I will build my Hollywood church. It means you've got to know how every aspect of the ministry is operating. You got folk in the kitchen want to fight for some oxygen. I'm the best cook, but somebody else's food tastes bad. Well, I'm sorry. I don't see the Food Network asking you to come on their program. Women fight in the kitchen over who the best, who can fry the chicken. It don't matter. If you don't trust somebody to cook it, then what you do is you go to Church's Chicken, Harold, Popeye's, or go to J&J or Shark and buy a big old thing of chicken. And that comes out the argument. Everybody want to fight in the kitchen. For what? Kitchen is a ministry. Don't nobody want to be sick behind food. You can get that in a restaurant. But the thing about it, you got to know how to do work. And for those preachers, let me tell you something. And I'm not hitting you upside the head with a baseball bat. I'm hitting you upside the word with the head, upside the head with the word of God. When a pastor is sick, if you holy, and you are a vessel of God, stop trying to compete. Because that's a sin. Competing is a sin. What you doing when you playing basketball, football, you doing whatever. That's a sport. You compete in sports. But you don't have to compete to try to see what the pastor died who will be the church. It may not ever fall to you. So see, one thing I know about God, while everybody's running around trying to worry about who will get to church and having these little fat fights, or the cat fights about who's going to be the next one. You know what? Instead of praying for the leader to get better, you're worried about trying to take over the throne. Well, number one, don't you know that God will step his all but 2 cents plus in it and change the whole world upside down and may even get to the point to where that church may be closed permanently? See, while you're fighting over kibbles and bits, you should be on your knees praying to ask God to give you a praying spirit, to learn how to pray, when to pray. You should be prayed up all the time. You should be able to say, Lord, my mind needs to be uncorrupted because it's too corrupted and it's too vain. You argue about stuff that you ain't even start. You ain't so happen to come through the door. You didn't even start anything. And a lot of people, well, my family was in the church. So freaking what? I know a bishop that died, and the family then dispersed away from the church, and ain't nobody there except for old people that were all up in that pastor's mind, and half of them are already dead too. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, y'all argue about little stuff. See, you do these things, guess what you do? You bring shame and mockery. Basic skills, leadership skills, you need to know that. We're doing that right now in my educational class. Learning about the various types of leadership, servant leadership, authentic leadership, participatory leadership. See, you need to learn some basic leadership skills. And then you need to know about personal financial issues. Okay, just because you may work in the post office or you're a teacher or whatever, don't mean that your income is enough to suffice that church. You got to be able to suffice that church even if you don't have a membership. Because folks do leave. Folks walk out the door. They be gone. You got to learn how to deal with power groups and power people in the church. Someone said they got it all wrong and courageously pointed out that I was messing things up almost from the moment I began a new church. So I'm thankful that I am a ninth-year pastor in my third church. You gotta learn. That's what I mean by learning. You don't know everything. I had to learn. I learned. Another one says, don't give up your time in prayer and the word. Yeah, you do. You need to give up time in prayer and the word. You got to pray. Because in order for you to run a ministry and to be a pastor, you've got to know how to pray. And pray the right prayer, not a carnal prayer. They need some business training. If you don't have business training, somebody told me they wanted to know some information about something. And my mind is like, why? And I wasn't trying to be funny, but people all the time tell me to get information on stuff. But my thing is, do you see church people? Oh, Lord, help me. If you can't be stable in one area of your life, how are you going to take $5 million projects? Credit score is bad. You can't stay in one place for 5 years, but you want to take on a $5 million project. Let me explain something to you. Banks, mortgages, loan companies, underwriters, they're not hearing about John 3:16. They're not hearing about John 3:16. They're not hearing about the love of God is greater than far from tongue and pen can ever tell. They got that and not business. My God, we are so stupid. They ain't hearing about the Holy Ghost and prayer kind of things. No, when I own two houses, I have to prove that, baby. If you ain't stable, you can't do nothing. I don't understand it. Learn how to pray. Learn how to do God. And learn how things should work. Another thing is that there are mean people in the church. You gotta learn how to grow your children up with other kids and continue to date your wife or your husband. Either way it goes, it's a lot. It's a lot that you need to learn. But a lot of folks don't want to learn because they figure, I know it all. No, you don't. I've been to school 30 years, and I'm still learning. Until next time, you all be blessed.